Just for the crack, but we'll have a wee word of prayer first. So let's close your eyes. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for this wee bit of time, Lord, we've set aside. I pray you, Father, that you would just take it and use this time, Lord, to work in our hearts and minds, to be with those that couldn't be with us, Lord, for whatever the reason. And Lord, to take and use this as a time of refreshing, time of straightening and strengthening and comforting and encouraging. Lord, please be with those that aren't well at this particular time. I do think on Esther and Pat and Steve, specifically Pearl too. And Lord, be with all of those that are, standing to preach the gospel. For those, Lord, that are having a difficult time because of the gospel. And Lord, please be with all our lost loved ones. Lord, there are so many folks in this world that don't know you and refuse to bow the knee. I pray you, Lord, that you would break hearts, that you would remind souls of their need to be saved, of the words of eternal life, Lord. Just thank you, Father, for loving us and watching over us. I pray you, Father, your good hand upon us as we just gather around and sing a few songs and open your word. We pray all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. All right, hymn number 33 in the books. Just in case Christmas did seem like a long time ago and you may have forgotten what it was like, this isn't a long time ago in Bethel, this is a long time ago in Bethlehem. So hymn number 33, we'll remain seated as we sing, Long Time Ago in Bethlehem.
A long time ago in Bethlehem,
so the Holy Bible says, Mary's boy child Jesus Christ was born on Christmas Day. Hark, why hear the angels sing, a new king's born today, and man shall live forevermore. Because of Christmas Day. While shepherds watched their flocks by night, they heard a bright new shining star, and heard a choir from heaven sing. The music came from afar. Hark, now hear the angels sing, a new king is born today. Joseph and his wife Mary came to Bethlehem that night. They found no place to bear her child, not a single room was in sight. Hark, now hear the angels sing, a new king is born today, and man will live forever. Because of Christmas Day. By and by they find a nuke in a stable all forlorn, and in a manger cold and dark Mary's little boy child was born. Hark, now hear the angels sing, new king is born today, and man shall live forevermore because of Christmas Day. Trumpets sound and angels sing, oh, listen to what they say, that man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. Sing, a new king's born today, and man will live forevermore because buzz of Christmas Day.
Amen. Close them up and take the big fat books out and turn to 121. 121, like a river glorious. We're well warmed up now, so this should be a walk in the park. 121, like a river glorious.
Like a river glorious, is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in its bright embrace. Perfect yet it floweth, fuller every day. Perfect yet it groweth deeper all the way. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest. Hidden in the hollow of his blessed hand, never foe can follow, never traitor stand. Not a surge of worry, not a shade of not a blast of hurry touch the spirit there. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest. Every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust him fully, all for us to do. They who trust him wholly find him wholly true. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest.
Amen. You good to read, Norman? You come on ahead then, brother.
This evening's reading is from the book of Nahum, chapter 1. The Burden of Nineveh, the Book of the Vision of Nahum, the Elishite. God is jealous, the Lord revenges, the Lord revenges, and is furious, the Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger, and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and dried up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quaken at him, and the hills melt. The earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the word and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation, and who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. But with an overrunning flood, he will make another end, the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. What do you imagine against the Lord? He will make another end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. For while they are folded together as thorns, and while they are drunken as drunkards, they shall be devoured as stubble fully dry. There is one come out of thee that imagineth evil against the Lord, a wicked counsellor. Thus saith the Lord, though they be quiet, and likewise many, yet thus they shall be cut down when he shall pass through. Though I have afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more. For now will I break his yoke from off thee, and will burst thy bonds in sunder. But the Lord hath given a commandment concerning thee, that no more of thy name be sown. Out of the house of thy gods will I cut off the graven image and the molten image. I will make thy grave, for thou art vile. Behold, upon the mountains, the feet of him that bringeth good tidings and publisheth peace. O Judah, keep thy solemn peace. Perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. Amen.
Right, thank you for that, Norman, and Steve too for his suggestions. Some days I keep thinking he's going to come up with a page or two out of Numbers or something like that. You'll be reading Hebrew names in your sleep.
But
just change the chapter number a bit. Amen. Thank you for that. Well, we miss everybody here. Ling is, she was in touch with someone that has COVID, or she was informed by someone that they were in touch with someone with COVID. Is that it?
Her patient has COVID.
Has it. And even though they're all, I think they're smocked up and masked up, they're not taking any chances. So please do pray for Ling and Dr. Shang. Speaking with Frank today, he has a private prayer request. So I would ask that you, as you're praying for other people's private prayer requests, that you would remember Frank as well until we get you an updated prayer list. Do remember Esther, Pat and Steve. We know they don't keep 100%, so please do pray for them. Please pray especially for Carol and John and Stephen this evening, if you would, whilst they get out of whatever fog it is that they're in. We miss Will too. Please remember him and his mom and his granny and all of his relations, especially his cousin William and his family right now too. My mother-in-law had started her heart procedure at what, about 4 o'clock today, wasn't it? 4 p.m. We haven't heard anything since. We appreciate your prayers and would appreciate your continuing prayers as well. Please do remember the family of Will's boss lost a daughter-in-law there. His boss Margaret lost her daughter-in-law Gemma about a week and a half ago, would it be? I think it was to cancer. So please do pray for that family as well. And I know there's not one of us that hasn't been touched by grief over the past few years. Just pray for each other. I know with a few of us it's a little fresher than others, but it's still still hurts. So please do pray for each other in that regard too. Amen. Has anybody got any other special prayer requests? Okay. Do continue to pray for our country. Do continue to pray for America. I have read some of the statistics on the incumbent, and he is seemingly the most unpopular American president, I think, that has ever sat in the big chair in the Oval Office. So please do pray for America. People have said that he has done more, or he is determined to undermine and destroy America. Now, we like to think that the Atlantic is a big insulator, but things that happen in America are happening here within a few seconds. So please do pray for America, and please do pray for people here. Good people everywhere to stand up and to be counted whenever they can. But we also know that there are peoples that can't. And there's a group of folks called the Uyghurs in China that are being systematically sterilized, raped, assaulted, and imprisoned simply because they're Muslim. And the Chinese government doesn't like anybody but the Chinese government being first and foremost in people's hearts. So please do pray for China right now too, for Australia and New Zealand, for North and South Korea, Japan and Taiwan, and of course Hong Kong. There's a lot going on down there. Do pray as well for Africa, all the parts of it, for Europe, for our own country, for North and South America, and for Canada. I know there's hundreds of other countries in the world. I'm not going to embarrass myself by getting my geography wrong, but of all of them, we're commanded to pray for the peace of Israel. So don't forget to pray for Israel, for God's people. And if there's ever a day you can say a good word or do a good turn for them, make sure you do it. Because God made a promise way back in Genesis 12, and he said, if you bless Israel, I'll bless you. And I'm sticking to that. Why would you go out of your way looking for trouble from God? So don't forget that. Don't forget that. As well as that, please pray for Kids for Schools, the Christian Institute, and Francis Cosgrave. We support these guys year by year, and they do need our prayers as well. Francis is in Kenya. Tanzania is where the Kids for Schools operate, and the Christian Institute operates right here. And we may actually find ourselves in need of them before very long if things keep getting worse and worse. So please do pray for all of these souls that fight these battles that we can't fight. The legal system is a system of laws. In fact, you know what? All it is a game with updated rules every time somebody turns around. Just as many times as very, very far from the courtrooms that are grace our land and are supposed to be there to protect us from wrongs. We need a lot of prayer. If there's ever a time you can stand up and help someone do it, if there's ever a time whenever the Lord puts it upon your heart to call someone's name out in prayer, make sure you do that too. Please pray for Christy. He's got work. PhD, is it wound up yet, or is it winding up very shortly? Whenever you've had enough, is that the one? Pray for that, for the up and coming, Lord willing, wedding in May. Please do remember that too. He's got a full plate, and he does one of the services here on a Sunday, and that takes more than half an hour. And if it doesn't, I would like to know your recipe of a Sunday. So we do appreciate the work that, I appreciate the work that you do, Christy. Amen. Anybody, any private prayer requests that they'd like to make known? Just Norma. I think we have you down here from the other day. Let me just double check that and see. Yep. Okay. So we're all the same. And just add Frank. Okay. There's nothing else? Nothing else? Okay. Let's pray. And then we will sing another song. Heavenly Father, do indeed thank you, Lord, for right now. And Lord, for all the prayer requests that we read out, and I know there's a whole bunch more on the sheet. I do pray, Father, please, for those that are grieving, for those that are hurting, for those, Lord, that are in the valley of decision, please, I pray, you sway their decision towards you. Remember the folks on the Boy Road. Remember those, Lord, with failing health And pray, you Father, for your good hand upon them. Even now, Lord, in these last of the last days, we know that your influence and your power is still being felt in this world, that you haven't abandoned it to all the many billions that really don't want anything to do with you just yet. Please, Lord, still work and still set your children to be examples of what it's like to love you and to serve you and to have a Christian life. I pray, you Lord, for the victories in our private prayer requests. Pray, you Lord, for victories in our own personal lives, for inspiration, for help, for wisdom. We pray, you Lord, for our church family, whether they're here or in Bangor or right the way across the world. And I pray especially for my mother-in-law right now, Lord, and the surgeons that are attending her. There are so much. Please work in Derry, Lord. Please, Father, I pray, open people's eyes to the uselessness of religion and drinking and drugs and thrills and spills. Help them, Father, to see you. Please bring to mind a half-forgotten kids' song, Sunday school lesson, Bible reading or sermon or time at the door during an outreach, Lord, and please save souls, not just here but around the world. Thank you for loving us and watching over us. We pray this, Lord, and of course our private prayer requests. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. Right, let's take our big hymn books again and we'll sing another song. Alright, hymn number 127, 127. Tis so sweet to touch. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Amen. We'll stand as we sing.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er.
be seated. Put your Bibles away. If you want to take your Bibles, put your hymn books away. Don't put your Bibles away. People be running out the door to stow them in the car. Hymn books away, sorry. And if you'd like to take and turn to Matthew chapter 8 this evening, I'd like to just bring you, it's nothing new, but it's quite amazing. To me, it sort of blows my mind at the simplicity of the gospel and how it was found and even and the entirety of it, how it is found even in a few lines of the scriptures. We appreciate the reading of Nahum, Matthew chapter 8. We're only going to read the first four verses. It almost seems like we're trying to get out the door in a hurry. But that could all change. And sometimes it does whenever we start reading. But I want to speak on the subject of the simple truth, or breaking it down, or preaching. Just if you can think of some way to make the gospel, a title that would be suitable for the making simple of the gospel, just telling it like it is. Telling it like it is. There you go. That's what we're going to do. We're going to read these four verses, and then we're going to have a wee look at this portion of God's word. Now, when he, that's Jesus, was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. That's our Bible reading, and that's our text, and we're going to be speaking on the subject of salvation and the simple truth of it this evening. Christy, would you lead us in a wee word of prayer, please, if you would.
We ask and pray that you'd work in each of us here this evening, Lord, that eyes would be open, ears would be open wide as well, Lord, that hearts would be receptive, Lord, that the Spirit would work in each one of us, Lord, that the sound of your word. Bless the preacher and be with him, Lord, guide and lead each thought and word. Pray for focus of mind, Lord, for a touch from heaven, Lord, and wisdom to accompany it as well. Pray for those that couldn't be with us, Lord, that you'd minister to their needs tonight, that you'd help them as they listen, Lord, get what they need out of it spiritually as well, Lord, please. Feed your sheep, we ask and pray. Save lost souls, Lord, who also listen, Lord, or come across our paths. Be with those that are sick and downcast, I think of Patty and especially going through surgery, Lord, for Frank, Lord, in London, watch over him, and Lord, McMahon family at this time as well. For Will and Christine, Lord, for Pat and Steve, for Nana as well, Lord, for Nana and family as they isolate too. Lord, just have your way this evening, Lord. Be with our country's leaders. Remember Israel at this time as well, and our missionaries in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We can just read this. No, we'll not read this again. It's fairly straightforward, and it's the tail end, if you like, of the Sermon on the Mount. If you turn back about four or five pages and turn right to the beginning of Matthew chapter 5, you'll see, at least in my Bible, basically you're looking at five or six pages of solid red writing. We've just finished the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus has come down from the mountain. He has presented some of the, I would say, one of the best recorded messages that has ever been heard by mortal man. The Beatitudes, you've heard of the Beatitudes, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted, that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, and the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy, and so on and so forth. Talks about where sins begin, in the heart, because that's where the Lord's going to judge it. Whenever he said to the scribe, well, everybody says, do you know what? You've heard how it's said of old time that if anybody kills anybody, they'll be in danger of judgment, but the Bible says, the Lord said in the Bible, but I'm telling you that if a man is angry with his brother without a cause, he's in danger of judgment as well. So the Lord was talking about the heart and being careful what you let it do. And also these last couple of chapters, 5, 6 and 7, give us an example of how to pray. I know a lot of people say, oh, I said the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer was just a model prayer. He said, this is the sort of way you need to pray. Just remember who you're talking to. It's God and it's not your good mate. Remember, you're wanting for a cleansing and a refreshing, and you're wanting the Lord's kingdom to come, and you're wanting your daily bread. All these things are good to pray for, but you know what? We need specifics. We need to ask for specifics and speak to God properly, like you and I speak to each other. We just don't say, at least we shouldn't just say the same thing over and over again, but there should be something personal or special in there. And the Lord says, we're talking to our Heavenly Father, our Abba Father. That's the closest relationship that a child can have with a parent. So tell them everything. And it goes on to tell us the same thing in Philippians chapter 4. There's also, of course, warnings about organized religion in there as well. And many times the Lord took opportunity to warn people about the hypocrisy of the scribes and the Pharisees. And of course, he told us the difference between a Christian life and a lost and a worldly life. They're different. But as he's coming down, you know, all good things must come to an end. And if we lived away up in the mountaintops all the time, at the first sign of a difficulty in a day, we wouldn't have the first clue how to cope with it. And do you know what? It's great to be lifted up to the mountaintops, and it's great to be in the fresh, clear air and in the sunshine. But we would never appreciate it if we never spent time in the valleys. We would never grow or be able to manage down in the valleys if we didn't spend those times in the mountaintops. It's all about contrast and learning as we go. So it talks about a multitude of people following the Lord down this hill. And I can guarantee you there were certainly at least one leper in them. He wasn't standing at the bottom of the hill waiting. I am sure he was standing at the top listening, socially distanced. Leprosy was the COVID-19 of back in the day of AD 30 or AD 33. I am sure he listened just like everybody else. And the thing about it is, if someone is wanting to hear what God has to say, God is going to find a way for them to hear it. And I am sure the Lord had a good voice, because I know for a fact that tens of thousands of people heard him at least twice out in the middle of the country with no acoustics. When people want to hear the Lord, they're going to hear the Lord. So I'm sure he heard the Lord talking about all of these things. But not only that, the people weren't there just for a bit of crack. The people were up there because they knew that the Lord had done miracles already. They knew that he had changed the water into wine. They knew that people had demons cast out. They knew, and I don't know all the ins and outs, that people that were ill had been made whole. They knew people were turning up to see. And you know what? A lot of times, you and me, we have certain social strictures that we don't like to step out of. And a lot of people don't realize in this world that the only place that you can't break chain of command is the army. You can pretty much say and do whatever you want to anybody in this country. If it's going to be illegal and harmful, you're going to go to jail for it, but you can go to anybody and say anything to them. You can step over the ruts that society has set down. And this is exactly what this leper did. Not supposed to approach anybody. The only thing that people were supposed to hear from the leper were unclean. You know the old saying about the unclean, and they'd ring the bell and they'd have their lower lips covered, because the leprosy tended to mean that their lips were eaten away and diseased off them because of the wastage and the lack of feeling. They were unclean. They were literally disease-ridden cesspools that if you even touched the garment, you weren't even allowed to be near your own family for days. You had to be washed. You had to be cleansed. You had to be set aside. You had to be inspected by the priests in case some of that got on you. It was serious stuff. But this one, he calls out to the Lord. But more than that, he knew he had a problem, first of all. He knew he was a walking death sentence. The sad thing about it is, there's a lot of folks in this world are running around perfectly healthy and don't realize they're under the same death sentence. This man knew that he had a problem. But this man knew there was another very special solution to his problems, and that man was Jesus. This was the guy that was doing miracles. He realized where he stood too. This wasn't a good mate. This wasn't a charitable cause. This was the Son of God. He was doing things that only God can do, because the Bible says he came and worshipped him. I don't know. Do you know what? It's a thing that maybe we're quite bad at. We like to think that worshipping God is singing the odd song, or offering up a nice flowery prayer, or putting a few pounds in the plate. And those are good things. But there's a lot more to worshipping God. I think it's in Romans 5 tell us that we ought to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And we should be thanking God and praising him and worshipping him with our whole lives. Anyway, he comes worshipping. And that probably means he came and he fell down at his feet and he had tears and he was just professing his dire need for his God, for the God that he believed in, for the God at whose feet he turned up at. And he says, if you will, Lord, you can make me clean. Another problem that many Christians have is we're not quite sure what God wants. The Bible tells us he wants all men everywhere to be saved. And if there is a thing that you can do, and there are certain strictures again in that, to get men to be saved, well then, those are the things that God would have you to do in the pursuit of men's souls. He says, I would really like for you to be clean. And he did the one thing that nobody else would do for him. He touched him. And just in the same way as the widow, as the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years touched the hem of his garment and virtue flowed out of him and healed her, so the leper was healed. And you see, when God heals, you see the thing with lepers, as we already mentioned, parts of their body got diseased and fell off. They were a poor sight. I am sure whenever he was healed completely, because Jesus doesn't do half measures. If his lips had rotted away, if his tips of his fingers had fallen off, if his ears had, if he was literally like a walking corpse, I am sure by the time the Lord touched him and said, I will be thou clean, that he was, what was it they said about Naaman the leper, he had the flesh of a young child again. He was restored. And a lot of times we don't actually realize what that means, but when you restored a leper, instead of it just being a lingering death sentence, being surrounded only with people who were also under a lingering death sentence, he was given his life back. And I want to tell you something else. There must have been other lepers there. There were other sick people there, but there's only recording of this one leper that came up to Jesus. Maybe everybody thought the show was over. But this one leper came up. He reminds me a bit of me. When everybody else was leaving the service, he was only getting to the main event. I remember walking up through at the end of the service to the preacher and saying, preacher, tell me how to be saved. This leper came up when everybody was leaving and he says, Lord, heal me. Cleanse me. Anyway, he got his family back. He got his health back. He got his ability to go out and work for a living back. He got all his friends back. He got the ability to go to synagogue back. He found that all the things that organized religion and his friends and his family and even his strangers and his king couldn't do, guess what? Jesus Christ could do. I think you see where we're going with that. Jesus Christ has so much power. So much power. What did he say in John 14? I am the way, the truth and the life. So much life that whenever he touched people, he didn't suffer from what they suffered with. His life and his power and his holiness and his goodness drove whatever ailed that person out of them. And the last thing that Jesus said to him was, look, go and show yourself to the priests. Go and show them that you're allowed to go back to your family. Go and show them, maybe this was in the back of his mind, that all of the things that they say and all of the things that they do mean nothing in the sight of the power of God. Now this is only four lines of scripture, but it covers the complete life of a soul. A soul that is determined to come to Christ. And that's the big rub. I think the Lord spoke at one time, how many lepers were there in the land of, was it Syria in the days of Naaman, and only Naaman was healed? How many people could have been healed by the Lord? Anyone that came to him, the Lord healed. Anyone that comes to the Lord today, the Lord will save. These four lines really stuck out because a lot of times we need a little bit of a story, and it's nice to get warmed up and get prepared and insert it into the scriptures and think about the grand plan that God has and how they all mesh together. But you know what? This is what the scriptures are really like. It's personal. One man. God was not in it to have a big church. God, Jesus Christ, came walking down this particular path at this particular time and knew he would meet this particular leper. And he took the time to speak to him, to touch him and heal him. It is the picture of every searching soul, these four lines. And just like in the same way, leprosy is a type of sin. A wickedly contagious and ultimately fatal disease. They didn't have amoxicillin and penicillin and coamoxiclave and any one of the other half a dozen cocktails of antibiotics whose squeezy bottles I looked up at for a couple of weeks. They didn't have all that. All they had was you get it or you don't get it. And you live with it. You die from it. Or in the case of Jesus Christ, you're healed from it. We know he healed other lepers. It wasn't just a one-off. And this leprosy, you know what? This sin, it brings down not just the great and the mighty. It brings down Joe Public as well. The kings that have their chambers with the best of health are at the same risk of sin as the alcoholic that lives under a bridge. It is, and we are, as much at risk from this as the leper ever was, as any leper ever was back in the day, and for many years after that. There's a lot of things that the Lord uses to get his word out into the world, and the greatest, of course, is his word. Divinely prepared, divinely protected, and even today, hated because of it, but preached as well. It is still the greatest way of coming to know Jesus. The most common thing in the world, of course, is the world. In Romans 1 it tells us that the whole of creation preaches a gospel story so that they are without excuse. So even in the likes of North Korea, where the Bible is outlawed and many millions of people I am sure will never even get to see a Bible, whenever they stand in front of judgment, God is going to say, could you not just take a look around you and wonder, did that really come out of a massive explosion 20,000 years ago? We have been in so many wars. And which one of those ever made something useful? Which missile ever flying through the air to shoot down an enemy airplane ever built a top of the range jetliner out of them? Which, it never happens. The biggest example of God's word is his word. The most common is the creation. But in between those, there's you and me. And all the things that the likes of you and me, you know, folks that are saved and love the Lord will do, like putting a wee leaflet in somebody's hand or whistling a hymn, this catchy hymn that catches people's ears instead of the filth that passes for radio and other entertainment. Or an old Sunday school lesson, or maybe a half-forgotten sermon. We can certainly attest to many of those, because even by the time I get home, I've forgotten half the sermon too. Or the odd Bible verse. Does anyone here remember a Bible verse they learned at one of the wee brethren clubs? I don't remember the Bible verses, but I remember sitting in the garage of one of our neighbours that was brethren, and they used to run a wee Saturday club and used to give sweets. And that's why we were really there, for crisps and sweets and lemonade. But we got our exposure to them back then. The thing about it is, all of it is to bring us to heal and make us realize what this leper knew, that we have a dire need. We're stuck. And without Jesus, we're stuck. And we're stuck bad. Remember in Isaiah 1 it says, the Lord said, come let us reason together. He said, though your sins be red like crimson, I will make them as white as snow. Though they're red like scarlet, I will make them like wool. That's what God says. And he said it to the leper, I will cleanse you. And he said it to you and I today, I will cleanse you from all of your sins. And you know what? Even the ones that you commit, and sometimes, you know what? We need to go back to the Lord and we need to straighten ourselves out. He'll even help us out then too. He's that good. He loves us. I know a lot of folks that are not saved now, and they never think they ever will need to be. Regardless, I met a man who used to sit in the chairs many years ago. And he's been to so many churches, and the poor fella is so confused that he thinks everybody's going to heaven. I would love to think that. It's certainly God's will that everyone should go to heaven, but the scriptures record, this is Jesus Christ, who with his vision can see right to the end of time, and he sees billions of souls stand before the great white throne of judgment, ready to be thrown into the lake of fire. They could be saved, but they don't want to be saved. They think, I'm as good as the next guy. What was that guy, Fred, somebody or other, that used to kill all the wee girls? Remember West. Do you remember Fred West in over in England, about, what was it, 20, 25 years ago? They found out, was it him and the wife were serial killers? And do you know what his neighbour said? He was a really nice guy, he used to put my bin out. And most people say, I'm as good as the next guy. But you don't know if the next guy is Fred West. You don't. No point in being good as the next guy when you really need to be as good as the guy, Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus even said back in Matthew 5, he said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. The word of God says that most of the next guys that we're talking about, that folks are talking about, are firmly planted upon the broad road that leads to destruction. What about the desires of Jesus? Well, he's a loving, holy, forgiving and saving God. He hasn't changed a bit from that day there. If you call to him now, he will help you. If you don't call to him, he's not going to force you. How many lepers walked past the Lord? One stopped. Many people possessed with demons walked past the Lord. Only this one stopped. This was early in the Lord's ministry. Maybe as time went on, there's a few more records of accounts of the Lord meeting people, and it says he healed all that came to him. People were catching on, but he'll only save you if you come to him, if you'll admit that you need him. And he'll only help you if you ask him. He wants, 2 Peter 3, tell us he wants all men everywhere to be saved. And all means all. And everywhere means everywhere. Whether on the top of this earth, underneath this earth, in the far side of the earth, whether they're on the moon, the ISS, or whether they get to Mars. It's all men everywhere. All mankind, men and women, boys and girls, no matter the age, no matter what, from right the way across the world and from right the way across the tracks, God wants them to be saved. That's how much he values every soul. And he has made all manner of provision to talk to us about it. He's put a lot of work into it. Do you know the amount of stuff that's happening today in this world right now that was written in the Bible 2,000 years ago? The lies that people will believe. Did you know that's in the Bible in Matthew 24? It says that the devil, when he comes back, will even be able to fool Christians. It doesn't take much to fool very, very intelligent people. Goodness. He put a lot of work into showing us that he is the master of history. He wrote it. And he, the zeal of the Lord of hosts, will make it happen. And he has used the whole of history to reach out to mankind through up and down the ages of history to show that he is God. This is the God that we have to deal with. This is the God that the leper dealt with, a man that would stop for a moment and change his life forever. We also have the need of the lost sinner. That used to be you and me. We still have needs. We still need the Lord. When the lost sinner comes to Jesus, perhaps after who knows what, after years of preaching, or maybe just years of being sickened by the filth and sin in the world, after being convicted, after realizing, I need God. When all other attempts to fix that have failed, organized religion, friends, family, they used to say retail therapy, used to hear bandied about a lot with women. I'm going out for some retail therapy this morning. And the husbands used to send the husbands diving for their bank cards and credit cards. All those things. Of all the things that man can come up with to divert us and to thrill us and to give us something to occupy our hands, there's not one of them can save a soul. We can sit in a church and listen to the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, supposedly one of the singing sensations in the world. And I think the Osmonds actually came from that neck of the woods. And powerful singers, but not one of them going to heaven unless they've gotten saved since they've been born. There's nothing in this world that man can do to save himself or anybody else. And whenever we realize that, sometimes it takes us a few tries. Has anyone ever, you've heard of The Simpsons, haven't you? You know, what do you call his wee sister? Lucy. Is that the baby? Lisa. There you go. Thank you. That's probably not something we should admit to in church. But there was a cracker one. There was a cracker episode in it, because some of these episodes are, you know what, they're almost providential. But they said her science project was to prove that her hamster was smarter than her brother. And she had her hamster set up in a cage. And there was hamster food and a wee electric prod. And when the hamster went over to get the food and got a wee buzz off the prod, it never went near it again. So we set one up for her brother, Bart. And there's a big cream bun. And there's an electric shock pad on it. And every time he goes up, it buzzes. And he goes up again, and he goes, and he keeps going up, and he keeps getting the electric shock and never learning. Do you know what? Sometimes we like to think we're smarter than the hamsters. Sometimes we're not. It's only the Lord can save us. The sooner people realize that, the sooner their life starts over as a child of the King of Kings with all of the promises We need that. If you looked around you today, I could guarantee you that the death, the blood of all the slain of all the earth are down to false religion, people not believing in God. They believe in evolution. Hitler used evolution to kill 6 million Jewish people. The Australians, the white people in Australia, they used evolution to kill and stuff an Aboriginal woman. Treated her like an animal. And people will use evolution. They will use anything to make people less than people, to get their own way. I think they're even doing that over in America right now, demonizing a certain aspect of society so that they can climb over the top of them. It is only Jesus that saves, and he'll only do it whenever we ask him to. There's one thing that really got me about this portion of scriptures was Jesus touching the leper. And it's the blood applied that makes the difference. You can sit in Sunday school your whole life. You can sit under the best of preachers. You can know that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. But until you get down and admit to God that you need it, that you're sorry for your sins, and ask for that to be applied to you, it won't do you a single bit of good. It's like a dying man. It's like a dying man in the hospital bed, knowing that he needs an antibiotic. Some of these are just cut a bit too close to the knuckle for me. And he can know that these antibiotics will save his life, but unless he takes them, they don't do any good. Unless he makes them part of his life, part of his body, they don't make a blind bit of difference. And it was the power of God applied directly to the leper's body that saved him and gave him his life back. It is the power of God, the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ applied to yours and my lives, that will cleanse us of our sin. Because you know what Jesus said, I will be thou clean. That's still his answer. That is still the answer of God to any soul that will come to him today. It has to be applied. I remember years ago, does anyone ever remember the Hammer House of Horror? It used to have Vincent Price holding the Bible with a big cross on it, scaring Dracula away. That doesn't do a blind bit. Do you know, the only time I ever heard of a Bible saving a man's life was a soldier that had it in a metal case over his heart, and he was hitting the heart with a bullet, and the bullet hit the Bible in the metal case and stopped the bullet and saved his life. It doesn't work for monsters, and it doesn't work for vampires, werewolves, or any banshees or anything. That you, the only way the Bible works, the Word of God, the power of God, is when it's directly applied in salvation, but also as a Christian. The promise of God is that if you call him, he'll save you. But there are so many other promises beyond that. For peace and power, for purpose, for direction and where you're going to go, for lifting you up. There's a lot of things that are way beyond us right now, but if we get in tight with God, he will lift us to the heights that we need to get to. It needs to be applied. The last thing I want to, well, the penultimate thing I want to mention very quickly in passing here is the difference. There will be a difference. Once the leper met with Jesus, he said, go and see the priests. They'll be able to tell you there's a difference. And they will give you the okay to go back to your family. Friends, when you get saved, there should be a difference. There's no difference in your life. You didn't get saved. You still love to go to the pub. If you still love to sleep around. If you still love to do drugs or beat the tar out of people. Just like you always did. You didn't get saved because you're still the same old creature. The leper was changed when Jesus saved him. And you will be too when Jesus saves you. I remember the day I got saved and there was a weight lifted off my shoulders. And I just wanted to tell everybody about what Jesus had done for me. And I did. I didn't know a thing about it, but I told people they needed to get saved. We should be changed. The Bible calls us new creatures. Old things passed away, and all things become new. A new eternity. A new peace, a new assurance, not in ourselves anymore or something that the church might do for us, but in what Jesus Christ did do for us. A new family. New things to replace the things that the world, the flesh and the devil will take away trying to draw us back. Things, the Bible says, that are 100 times better. A new direction. Straight and narrow road that leads to life. And a new power. A power that comes from walking and talking with God, from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and that conduit, if you want to, and I don't even like to use that title, but that's how God delivers his promises to us, through the Holy Spirit. And new places. When you maybe wouldn't have darkened the door of a church, and you can't wait to get there. Although I might have something to do with the fact that so many people don't want to get there. But we should want to go to new places. We realize that it's not a set of rules that saves your soul. It's the Jesus Christ that actually wrote the rules down in the first place. And when you follow him, you'll get saved. And you follow the rules, you might live a clean life and you might be okay here for a while. But it's not going to save your soul. There's a meeting with the God of heaven that'll make the difference. It is trusting in him alone that'll save a soul to the uttermost. It's really simple and straightforward. It really is. Sometimes it just takes a wee bit of looking. A lot of times I think the Bible's like, you know, your big chest of drawers, one with 4 or 5 drawers on it, and you've got stuff that sits on the top, and more often than not, we only see the stuff that sits on the top. But if we take time to open a drawer, who knows what you might find in them. Well, if you open some of the drawers that I'm looking after, you just wouldn't know what you might find in them. Might be a bullet, there might be a knife, there might be a sock, there might be a 4-year-old receipt, who knows. But that's what the Word of God's like. You just don't know. And I can guarantee you, every single drawer that you open, you'll never be sorry. And God will have a gift there for you. And it will make a difference to you along your way. And he's not going to force you. He's not going to grab you by the scruff and force you to go to heaven. Force you to get saved. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your father. He wants to give you all good things. And you know what? I'm persuaded that not only can he give me a new eternity in heaven, but that he can give me a good life here in this world. And if he'll do it for me, he'll do it for you. We're going to stop there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. Song to sing, and I'll take a request by way of our last song of the evening. Does anybody have one? From the big fat book or the wee skinny book? Just go right ahead and shout a hymn number of... and try to contain your excitement. Yes, Mrs. Bradford. Go for it.
Do we know 207?
Do we know 207, Chris? That one sounds like a funny number. Only a sinner. Thankfully, there is no music here for it. No, I don't know it. There's no number in the music machine. What about 208? Marvel, grace greater than our sin. Will we sing that? 208. If you'd like to stand as we sing, this will be our closing hymn.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin. Smile.
Good time. God bless you. Don't forget our listeners on the web and on the CD. Don't forget and keep praying for them too. For our countrymen and for, well, goodness, just for everybody. Good to see you. God bless you. Have a safe trip home. Look forward to seeing you on Sunday again, if not before. Amen. Christy, would you pray for us? Dismiss the meeting, please.
Lord, again, thankful for this time, Lord, for the word spoken, for the message, Father, for songs sung, Lord, for the fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for salvation, for the simplicity of it, and the reminder tonight, Lord, as well. We ask and pray, store it up for a time, Lord, help us need. We don't need it for saved, but Lord, we can need it to share it, Lord. Help us share it, Lord. Help us radiate it, Lord, the compassion you showed upon us, Lord, the mercy that you forever show upon us daily as well. Help us, Lord, to shine in these dark days, Lord, to savor our lost friends and family, we pray. Love and need you, Lord, see us home safe. The Lord guide us in your all and your way, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Tap toes, elbows, and whatever.